This week, First Nations communities got involved in a community roundtable about energy transition in Alice Springs. The federal government and state and territory energy ministers committed last year to co-design and implement a First Nations clean energy strategy under the National Energy Transformation Partnership. This will help to reduce costs of electricity for those First Nations remote areas where the price is one of the highest across Australia. National Radio News correspondent Martin Davis asked the Executive Director of Original Power and Jora Jora Woman Karina Nolan her organization's plans for cleaner energies in Aboriginal communities.
We've been working with what we call our sister organization, Indigenous Clean Energy in Canada, and they're, you know, 10 years ahead of us. But some of the things that they've done is they said they organized their communities to, you know, talk with one voice, which is one of the reasons we set up the network. But they also worked with government to then incentivise and prioritise businesses that really put First Nations at the heart and centre of it. So First Nations led, you know, projects. So they've actually got sort of 200 to 300 medium to large scale projects that are run and owned by First Nations communities. We still haven't, you know, got one wholly owned First Nations project yet in Australia. There's a number that are underway and people are working on it. But what we've really seen is that collaboration between industry, government and community, you know, having some really amazing results.
And on that note, it has been announced that there will be a First Nations energy strategy here in Australia. So what do you think that's going to look like?
So that's led by the federal government. You know, they're co-designing that strategy. We get to be part of that, but they'll be doing consultation with communities right around the country, talking to different governments and different jurisdictions. And the idea is, you know, from our perspective, from the network, is that there's policy reform that can be done as we go. We don't want to see a document that's just complete in 2 years and we haven't seen those changes, because the pace in which the industry is moving, we think there's regulatory barriers that could be, you know, removed and kind of lifted, if you like, tomorrow. And one of those examples is around kind of rooftop solar and battery on social housing, community housing. Why can't we make sure that all our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander homes, in fact all of our homes in Australia, have kind of access to that sort of technology? So we're hoping that the strategy will do kind of longer term solutions, investment in First Nations businesses and jobs, but also some of the shorter term solutions around energy security.
And if you were to say, put it in like day-to-day terms, I mean, how different can it look? I mean, what is the standard, if you like, that you're looking for? What is the level of involvement that you're asking for?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because I think communities need to be able to determine that themselves. And some of our mob don't actually want to be energy activists, if you like, actually just want to see the power prices come down and the lights kept on and the fridges kept on. But then other, you know, parts of our communities want to see themselves, you know, really generate local jobs, but also kind of make some money off an industry that other people are also doing that. So that kind of economic commercial benefit. So I think it depends on where you are, but the opportunity for us to be front and centre. And, you know, I would say that, and we've talked about this quite a lot with others, that this involves consent from all of our people. It's our lands and waters. And to do the transition at the scale that's required to keep climate change, you know, to manage, you know, to get us to 1.5 degrees or stop us going over that, it's a huge amount of land and water we're talking about. So that kind of cultural impact on the landscape we need to really consider. So our communities need to be involved in that level as well.
I'm aware of some research that was undertaken by ANU looking at the situation with First Nations and electricity supply. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what that exposed about the disparities between electricity provision to First Nations people versus the rest of Australia?
So that was a research piece looking at over 3,000 Aboriginal households, and the number of disconnections, so over a year, 91% of those households were disconnected at least once, and 74% of them were disconnected up to 10 times. You compare that to people, you know, part of the national electricity market, the NEM, less than 1%. So, you know, we've got an absolute injustice going on in the way that power is delivered and received by our communities. And we understand there's a subsidy already and that the government's providing some of that subsidy, but we really believe with the right tech and the right investment and community involvement, we could be really doing that differently.
Executive Director of Original Power and Jora Jora Woman, Karina Nolan, ending the story by National Radio News, Martin Davis.